bashers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me and talk about gardening is 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by all of our great sponsors and supporters. You can see them. An easy way to see them is on our website on dirtdoctor.com. The banner ads there on the right-hand side make up a bunch of them. You hear me talk about and other people talk about them during the show, and we really appreciate all of their help. I'm going to start this hour a little bit differently because Elaine's still holding, and we had started talking in the past, in the first hour. Elaine, you still there?
I sure am.
Did you have something else, or did you want to talk about saving that limb just a little bit more of your peach tree?
Well, if we can talk about saving the limb a little bit more, and then I do have one more question as well.
Okay.
I did go out during the break. There are 23, they're baseball or bigger peaches past that break, and I think they're close enough to being ripe where I can pull them off, and they'll be ripe in another 2 days, maybe
okay.
Tomorrow.
All right.
But I guess, are you saying really the best case scenario for that, and it's broken, it's a foot away from the main trunk. Best case scenario really for us is to remove that limb?
It really is.
Okay.
Long term, it's the best choice. You can heal a limb. You can even heal a trunk. But the problem is you've always you always have that hidden situation inside the limb, and if it gets bigger, it may just snap off, and you may have wasted all your time. It's okay to give it a try because that wouldn't be a dangerous situation. If this was a big shade tree or something like that, I'd really strongly recommend that you not try it. See, a plant tissue, a trunk or a limb, either one, does not have the ability that animals have of the wound healing. What happens is it's simply compartmentalized. The tissue grows around it, and the damage is always still in there in the center. It just it just encloses it, and it's called compartmentalization. So you always have the risk of that being a weak spot and falling off later on. Again, it's not a dangerous situation. You can heal it with the burlap soaked in the tree trunk goop and the tree trunk goop smeared in there first. It'll heal. There's no question about it. But the smart thing always, even if you have a tree that's split in the middle, I tell people this all the time, rather than putting bolts in it and trying to cinch it back together, and do, you know, heroic kind of things, it's always better long term to look at the tree and whatever's the weakest one of the sides that's still left, cut it completely away, let the other side fill back out, and long term that's a much better way to go. Yours is a different deal because it's just a limb,
right? But so, still it's going to be always the weak link, where if we get another crop, and it's every 3 or 4 years we get peaches because we always get a late freeze out here. So we have a really good chance, say, let's call it 3 years from now, if we have another bumper crop, that limb could break even farther down or even closer to the trunk.
Yeah, and rip the trunk. Probably wouldn't happen. Probably wouldn't be the end of the world. But, see, you need to trim out 70 or 80% of a peach every year anyway.
Right.
So having that as one of the limbs that comes off that side, probably what I would do. But
okay,
if you want to see how it works, what I've explained to you, give it a try. I don't think there's a whole lot of downside. I'm just saying that long term, that's probably the best thing for the structure and the health of the tree.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
I'm also the one that called you last week about the staghorn beetles that you had emailed me back.
Yeah, those are great shots. Did you shoot those? Did you shoot those with a phone?
No, I shot those with Canon Elf camera.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. I'm so spoiled now. I'm doing all my photography with a phone, and it's remarkable what they do. But your shots of – actually, it's not a staghorn. What you have is the Hercules beetle. You got the message I sent back to you?
I have not been online for the last couple of days. The last one I got from you, I think you said that it looks like those are the males that are causing the damage. And
yeah, it's an interesting thing. I kind of learned something from it, and I've got it on my desk right now, and I'm going to build it into all this new information into an expanded entry on the library website, on the site's library website, place where the staghorn, not the staghorn, but the rhinoceros and the Hercules beetles are. I was always under the impression, when Malcolm and I did the bug book, we were both kind of under the impression that rhinoceros and Hercules beetles were common names for basically the same insect. They are different a little bit, though. Yours is the Hercules, not the rhinoceros. And everything that you can find out there on the internet will tell you that they're not really very destructive, if destructive at all. They primarily eat dead and decaying organic matter. Well, when Malcolm and I were traveling around, after we had done the book, we visited a nursery, tree nursery, down in the hill country. And the fellow was talking to us about the fact that the Hercules beetle and those great big grubs that are the size of your thumb,
yep,
which is what the larvae are of those great big huge beetles, were doing a lot of damage in the pots to the roots. They were actually eating the roots of his trees. And so that was our first experience that said something different, that said, well, these things can be destructive. And if they are beneficial nematodes, the mound drench that we use, which is garret juice with a little orange oil mixed in, will kill them, but they can be a problem. I was looking at your shots when you first showed me, thinking that was probably the female scratching the bark real bad because they were just kind of tearing.
It's almost like a vegetable peeler, the way they scrape it up.
Yeah, they're just kind of scraping pieces. They're not tearing the bark off all the way around, so I thought they were probably doing that to oviposit their eggs and lay the eggs. And then finally, I looked at it close enough to see that was the male doing that. It wasn't the female. And so what they're doing is they're tearing the twig enough to be able to get to the sap, and they're sucking the sap. The sap is probably higher in sugar this year than normal. You know why?
The rain?
The stress of the rain, exactly right. And I think that we're going to see, I did a newsletter, several weeks ago, talking about the fact that we're going to see some unusual plant situations, and as a result, we're going to see some unusual insect situations, and you got a great one there. And we will, if you don't mind, we'll use those photographs, put them in Facebook, and do a newsletter, put them on the library and let everybody know so they learn about that very fascinating insect.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Those photographs are just terrific, and we'll have them up for everybody as soon as possible. I don't think, Elaine, I would worry about spraying for them. I think that the damage they're doing is kind of temporary. It's going to be one of those hit-and-run kind of insects, and they're so interesting to watch.
But they are just, like I said, with those jaws, I don't even want to touch them because I don't want to get my fingers stuck in there.
Well, yours, the photographs you sent, their jaws really aren't that big. They're more of a horn on the top and the bottom. The staghorn actually has scissor-looking things that are flat and go out, horizontal. Yeah. And the male is the big one with the big mandibles. And you can pick it up and play with it, and it would bite you, and it wouldn't hurt at all. The female that has the smaller mandibles will hurt you. It'll bite, and it'll hurt. So if you ever run into those, be careful playing with them. Yours, I don't think they would hurt you much at all. You need to play with them and see if they do, and you're in charge of that research.
On that one, right?
Yeah, you're in charge of that research. No, thank you for the photographs, and we'll have them up for everybody so everybody can learn from them. But it is an insect that does a little damage, but if you have to kill them, spinosad will kill them.
Okay.
But if you don't, just kind of enjoy watching them if they don't do too much damage to your plants.
Okay, that was our concern. We just want to make sure that it's pretty safe, not having to worry about losing those trees. They're just kind of
That's cosmetic damage pretty much, and you won't see them expanding and start hurting other plants too much. Their main job, like I said again, of both the rhinoceros beetle, which is very similar, only bigger, and the one you have, which is the Hercules beetle, they primarily feed on dead and decaying organic matter and are beneficial in the breakdown of everything. They occasionally, just like pill bugs and sow bugs and those kind of animals, that's their primary mission too. But every now and then they say, I'm tired of eating this brown stuff. I'm going to eat some good living green tissue, and they will sometimes do some damage.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
thanks, Elaine. Good stuff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, telephone number. We've got one open for you just now at 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com. I'll put those her wonderful photographs up on Facebook for you right away, and we'll put them on the in the library as well.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless, organic, aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit Kyolic.com.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's see what I need to do first. Let me go ahead and tell you something. We've got a full board here. Let me get a couple more in, and I'll tell you about the pet tip of the week. Linda in Louisville next up. Hi, Linda. Been holding for a long time. I appreciate that.
I have about a 300-gallon fish pond, and I have string and clumping algae, and you've talked before about using hydrogen peroxide on certain things, and I was wondering if I could put that in the pond to kill the algae, if it would hurt my fish.
No, it wouldn't hurt at all, and I recommend that highly. My pond is somewhere, my koi pond water features somewhere around 1,500 to 1,700 acres, and I'll put I'm 1,700
it's
acres.
It's a big one.
1,700 square feet. I'm sorry. I'm glad you laughed. I would have just gone right on, letting everybody think that's what I meant. I had string algae badly, and I put about a quart of the 3% from the grocery store in a couple of times. So I probably put in 2 quarts, I guess, and I have 4 waterfalls, and then the koi are down in the lowest part of the water feature. And not only did it not hurt the koi, and I've got goldfish in there too, and also gambusia and some little turtles and all kind of stuff.
Right.
It not only doesn't hurt them, I think it's good for them. Hydrogen peroxide's got some medicinal benefits. Plus, hydrogen peroxide changes into water and oxygen very, very quickly. But it does work on the string algae. Now, where you have string algae, you probably have running water. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, generally, that's where it shows up. That's why I was thinking. What I was going to say is, and this is for anybody out there, if you have a water feature that has string algae and you want to control it with hydrogen peroxide, it's best to shut the water off, in other words, so it's not moving during the where you treat with the hydrogen peroxide.
Well, what I have is it only shows up in a certain area, but mostly it's the clumping kind.
Okay.
That I have, and I have a fountain. Mine's a fountain for the aeration.
Right.
And it's located on my deck because it's not rubber kind. This is the hard, like preformed pond, and it's a kidney shape. But I was just concerned if I could use it, how much would I put in there for like a 300-gallon pond?
Well, I would start in your case probably with, the hydrogen peroxide at the grocery store comes in a quart container.
Okay.
I would start by taking a quart and using about a third of it in there, and then I would do it again the next day, about a third of that. You probably could go as much as a half a quart without it doing any damage. I tell you what I'd recommend that you do, and everybody, we spent quite a bit of time working on the rates for this stuff. And, and we put it into a document that's on the website. It's on dirtdoctor.com in the library. We actually did a newsletter about it, too, and it talks about all of the different uses of hydrogen peroxide, the 3% stuff from the grocery store, and also the concentrated 35% stuff, which is great, but it's much more dangerous to work with, obviously, because if you misuse it, you can burn up some plants. It'll be herbicidal at 10% and levels like that. But we use, for what you have, koi pond and algae and things like that, we use the 3% stuff right out of the grocery store or the drug store. And the rates are all in that document for you, so you won't have to be guessing about it. But if you buy a quart on your 300 gallons, and if you use somewhere around a third of that quart up to a half a quart, it's not going to hurt the fish at all. They'll like it a lot.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. It's we've got people dropping off and new people coming on here. Let me see who's next. Flora in Cleburne next up, I believe. Hi, Flora.
Good morning. First of all, I wanted to thank you for your fire blight solution because it's worked 100% and I'm really happy.
Well, that's great. What kind of plant do you have fire blight on?
Asian pear.
The pear? You know, I love Asian pears. That's one of the most delicious fruits in the world. But that fire blight comes as a standard equipment on that plant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think you have something that's really susceptible, you might even want to put a little hydrogen peroxide in your Garrett juice every now and then just as a preventative. But if it does show the signs of it, I had it on a little apple that I was experimenting with in our garden, and I just put the 3% in with some water, diluted it with some water, threw a little Garrett juice in with it, and spritzed the little tree with a quart hand spray bottle, and the, like you said, the fire blight went away and has not come back.
Nice.
Yeah.
The other questions I have are propagation. I have a fig tree and a couple of grapes that were propagated this spring, and should I put them in the ground this year or wait till next year?
I like to put them in the ground as soon as you can, Flora, so they start getting the growth growing. A plant is always in more stress in a pot than it is in the ground, so I'd go ahead and get it going.
Okay, great.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
We've got a fig. I need to take a picture of it and put it on Facebook for you. Around the corner from our house, it's the biggest fig on earth. And it's the one I've showed you in the past that, I'll tell you about it when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Don't go away. I'll be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best looking grass in the neighborhood, top dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of black cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in black cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of black cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working black cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply black cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black cow, the mature manure, black cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We've got an open line all of a sudden. If you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478, it's time for the Victor Pet Tip of the Week, and I'm going to use this time, and I'm sure they won't mind at all, to tell you about a wonderful nonprofit organization that I ran into when I was looking for photographs for the to put on Facebook for the 4th of July this weekend, and it's called Needs, needs.org, N-E-A-D-S, needs.org, stands for the National Education for Assistance Dog Service, also known as Dogs for Deaf and Disabled Americans. And it is a 501c3, not-for-profit. It's out of Princeton, Mass. Our assistant dogs became an extension of their handlers, become an extension of their handlers and bring freedom, physical autonomy, and relief from social isolation to their human partners who are deaf or have a disability. They are accredited Assistant Dogs International. And the services that they provide, these dogs provide deaf and hearing loss, especially trained to alert human partners to sound. Veterans help with the growing population of vets who can benefit from canine assistance. Physical disability, obviously, classroom therapy and ministry. Children with a disability, children on autism. Ooh. Children on the autism spectrum. Wow. Social dogs help a child on autism spectrum feel calmer and more confident. That's cool. Wonderful picture. That's how I ran into this thing, and I wanted to tell you about it. I'm sure there's a lot of others that like this that do the same thing, but this one really caught my attention. Again, it's needs, N-E-A-D-S, needs.org, Dogs for Deaf and Disabled Americans. And that's from our friends at Victor, victordogfood.com. Go there and check out their website and also their Facebook page. It's the dog food that's manufactured without any of the wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and toxic chemical preservatives, and I am a big, big fan, but not as big a fan as Carmen and Tater are at our house. Back to the phones. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. And let's see, next up is Nikki in Mesquite, Texas. Hi, Nikki.
Hello, doctor. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Garrett?
I am doing very well. I'm delighted to be here with you. What's going on?
Oh, I'm delighted to talk to you. I had a fire at my house about 3-4 months ago.
Uh-oh.
And, well, it wasn't, knock on wood, it wasn't that bad. It didn't get into the attic or hardly any of the structure. It was mostly smoke. They just put it out with some foam or something. There wasn't any water damage, thank God.
Okay.
But anyway, it'd be another 90 days before I can move in. I had wanted to put in some fruit trees in my front yard this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard this before, but I wanted to put in a couple of apple trees, or actually I was just going to put in one apple tree, a pear, and a peach. But can I say a name of a company that I use out here in Balt Springs, or is that bad?
Sure, no, that's fine.
Okay. I've been using Ron's Organics out here in Balt Springs.
Yeah, I know Ron.
And, Ron himself told me that if I just put in one pear and one apple, they would cross-pollinate, and I'd end up with a pear apple. I never heard that in my life, but... Again,
well,
I'm not an arborist, so, you know.
Well, it won't do anything for the existing plants. We get this question a lot. It comes from people that are doing vegetable gardening more than fruit trees. But if you have different varieties of trees or vegetables or landscape plants or whatever, you're never going to have a cross-pollination of those plants themselves.
Okay. Okay.
The only thing you can have a cross-pollination of is the seed that are produced on those plants. If you collect that seed and take it and plant it and grow something, there is a strong chance then that it will be a cross. But the chances of it being crossed with the plants you have, it's kind of low because there's so many plants in the rose family and related plants that could crossbreed with it. You don't know who the parents are.
Yeah, so. I understand that.
But
could you give me the name of an arborist that you trust? Because I don't want to put these in myself. I want them put in professionally. And what size should I put in to begin with?
Of the fruit trees, I think that kind of smaller is better. I get, in my old age, I get more and more that way. You'd think it'd be going the other direction. But when I was primarily in the landscape design and contracting business, we tried to design in and plant as large a trees as possible because we were primarily doing commercial projects where the people wanted to sell space or whatever as quickly as possible.
Right.
I think from a horticultural standpoint, starting with smaller plants that don't have their root system messed up yet by, you know, being circling and girdling in the ball and all that, actually would give you.
And see, that's what I wanted. I wanted to get somebody that knows how to put the tree in the ground, so I don't have to worry about the girdling and all that other stuff, you know.
Well, you can. There's plenty of people that do it. Any of the landscape contractors know how to plant trees properly. Whether they do it or not depends on you keeping an eye on them and making sure that their guys, their workers do it. The secret is to get the plant out of the ground, eliminate the circling and girdling as much as possible, do a partial bare rooting. In other words, you don't need to do a whole.
Oh yeah, I do that. I do that. I've got a rubber tree plant that was at my dad's funeral in 1989, and there's no telling how many plants I have taken off of that thing over the years and given to other people. About every year or so, I'll take it and split them and wash all the roots off and spread them all out and then replant them. Unfortunately, they won't grow well in this weather in Texas outside, so I pretty much have to grow them in the house.
No, they won't at all. Yeah, I've got one in a pot, too, and actually, it was actually from my mother's funeral years ago. But, yeah, they that's a tropical.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
That's a tropical plant, and, yeah. Go ahead and do it yourself. You can get a contractor to do it, but if you're planting small plants, and unless you really are limited in time, you can spread the roots out, soak them in water, and get them planted very high. That's the whole key. The main key is to have the plants planted much higher than most people do so that the flare, those first roots that are coming out, are right up at the surface of the soil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, not just spreading out, but up at the soil surface.
Yeah.
Most people plant fruit trees too deeply. They put them down in the ground where that bud, that graft union, that crook, that dog leg, or that swelling is.
No, I understand that. I've been listening to you for years, so
okay.
I pretty much understand that.
Just do it yourself. If you want to get a contractor to do it for you, Ron can do it. More Tree can do it. Any contractors, especially that are into organics, they understand planting the plant at the proper height, and that's the only real key. I don't cut the top back either. The A&M and other universities will tell you to cut the top back severely on fruit trees, and I don't agree with that at all. I think that the top ought to stay.
I don't agree with that at all. I think you ought to just let them grow.
Yeah, unless you
want
them.
What I want to do is I want to put in two apple trees, a peach tree, and a pear tree in my front yard.
Get it
but
going.
Now, if I do that, I would also like to put a pecan tree right in the middle of the four of them. Now, as it grows, it's going to get much bigger than the rest of them. Will the leaves and the shade from that tree affect the fruit trees?
Yes, very much so. You need to plant that pecan tree out somewhere where it has plenty of room.
I'll do that. I'll do that without any problem.
All right, let me talk to some other people here.
No, I understand. That's perfect.
Get your project going. You need to get it going as soon as you can get the trees. Get them in the ground.
But I don't really need to do that till the fall, do I?
Well, you're not going to be able to get them to the fall probably, but some of the nurseries will have some of the plants in stock now in containers. It would be best for you to wait till fall and get some that are either mostly or completely bare-rooted and plant them properly.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, Mr. Garrett. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Weekend.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir. And I forgot to tell you about my fig tree. My fig tree neighbor, for years, and I think I put it as a newsletter for you at some point, but if I didn't, I put it somewhere. It was in the library under fig or something, but I think we have shown this before. The previous owners, apparently, because the new owners aren't doing it anymore, or the owners aren't doing it anymore, maybe they listened to the show, they were cutting this fig back severely every year, and it had huge trunks, but they were cutting it back to being about 8 feet tall. And yeah, it was huge. I mean, it was, I don't know, 15 feet tall and 15 feet wide. Today, they haven't cut it back the last couple of years, and the thing is gigantic. It is so big. It's growing out into the street, and they've had to carve some of the foliage away so people can walk down the walkway, the sidewalk. I'll take a picture for you, and we'll put it on Facebook and in the library too. There's a good news, bad news story about letting the fig get to the size it wants to get. The bad news is getting to the figs. If you like the fruit, they're going to be way up in the tree, and maybe that's why the previous owner cut it back so severely. But on the other hand, cutting it back so it's closer to a size that you want, even though when you cut it back, it puts on a huge amount of fast growth. And the most negative part of it is that you're going to have very small fruit. It will produce, but the fruit will be much smaller than if you let it grow to the size that it wants to grow. Then the only negative is how you get up there and get all of it. Ladders and that sort of thing, or long pole pruners, they snip them off and let them fall, is the thing you'd have to do. for some reason, everybody's bailed on me, except Barbara, who we'll talk to right away here. But there's lines open for you at 866-444-3478. Once again, our website, dirtdoctor.com, that green button over there on the left-hand side, if you click on that, it tells you how to join the membership, the Organic Club of America. And for those of you who are already members, and for anybody who wants to jump on right away, we have a new feature for you there, a new project. It's a slideshow of a trip that we took a few years of an absolutely fascinating place that I've been thinking about since I was a little bitty kid, because I saw pictures of these moai, these giant stone sculptures of Easter Island. Check it out if you got any interest. I think you'll like it. Howard Garrett, be back right after this.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically, because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I looked up our newsletter that we did on the rates of hydrogen peroxide used for various kinds of things. And when somebody asks me for a rate on something like that, I tend to be a little conservative, and I was with the caller talking about putting in her 300-gallon koi pond. The rate that we've published, and it is a little more accurate, is that you use a pint of the 3% hydrogen peroxide, the stuff out of the grocery store, a pint per 100 gallons. So two pints would be a quart, so it'd be a little bit more than I told her. Wouldn't be anything wrong with using that lesser amount and then adding to it, but you can use a little bit more and it not be dangerous for the fish at all and do a little better job of controlling the algae. Barbara in New Jersey next. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good. I had a few questions I wanted to ask. I just planted some new, in the garden, lima beans.
Okay.
I've noticed that some of them are being taken out by cutworms, and I was wondering, what can I do about them?
Well, the cutworms are very susceptible and easy to control with the BT products, which is a biological tool. It stands for Bacillus thuringiensis, and it is sold in dry form and also liquid form, and it'll be in any of the garden centers or in your area, Barbara. It's an organic product that's been around for a long time. We don't like to spray it all over or dust it all over the whole garden because it will kill butterflies. But it will control the feeding of cutworms and kill them right away. The second way to go, and you don't want to use it all over the place either, just on the plants that are having a problem, like your lima beans. It's called spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D, spinosad or spinosad. Here in the North Texas area, I guess all over Texas, we have a spinosad product that's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Spray, believe it or not. Up there, you'll have some brand name, some product name. You'll just have to go in the store and ask for spinosad products and then look at the label that they show you and make sure that the active ingredient in the product is spinosad or spinosad.
Okay.
If you go that route.
Okay. The other question was, I have a lot of chipmunk tunneling in my yard and under my patio. And I wanted to know, is there a way to discourage them to go somewhere else? I don't want to kill them.
They're cute little beasts. I like them a lot. We don't have them here, but I tell you what I would try. It doesn't work that well with our big squirrels, but with a little chipmunk, I'd be willing to bet this might be a good way to go. The formula for garlic pepper tea is on our website under guides on the homepage of our website, dirtdoctor.com. It's basically you put in a blender two garlic bulbs and two hot peppers, habanero or the hottest peppers you can handle and not burn yourself. And you blend those in a blender, strain out the solids, and use that juice by adding water to it to make a gallon. And that's your concentrate. And you spray about anywhere from a half a cup to a cup of that concentrate per gallon in the areas. And I think it would keep the little chipmunks away. Let's give it a try.
Okay. Well, could you also use, does those noisemakers that you get to deter molds, would you think that would help too?
It might. It'd be worth a try. The ones that I've talked about before that come from Harbor Freight, which is a tool company we have here in the
We have that here.
You have that. They have them in stock. They're very inexpensive and be worth trying.
Okay. Now, do you recommend using fertilizers like blood meal or bone meal?
Yeah, they're fine. But most of the products that I recommend the most, Barbara, are organic products that are blends. And if you look at the blend products, they'll have those things in them as ingredients. I don't ever buy blood meal or bone meal myself, but they show up in some of the blends of the fertilizers, organic fertilizers that we do use.
Okay. Now, one other product I wanted to ask you about, if it's okay to use it, it's a composted product. It says it's all natural, and it's called Dress Right, and it's composed of licorice root.
Sounds fine. I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds fine to me.
And it's supposed to be all natural. And they say that the licorice root, sort of like makes insects not want to be around.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah. Tell me how it works for you.
I
appreciate your call. Let me help some other people.
Thank you
very much. Let me know how that works, okay?
I will.
And by the way, on the squash bugs and squash vine borers, oh, we've got that coming up. Let me just go ahead and talk to Mark. I had that on my mind for some reason. Mark in Irving. Hi, Mark.
How's it going this morning?
Oh, very well. Thank you.
Great. I called you a few weeks ago that my squash plant, my zucchini plant, was taking over my pimento plant. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
But I've lost those plants now to the squash vine borers.
Okay, let me say this real quick before we run out of time, okay? Bob Webster and I have been talking about, he's been doing some experiments. He gets a big syringe from either a veterinarian or the drugstore, and he puts the BT product in it, same thing I was talking about, cutworms, Bacillus thuringiensis, in the syringe. Syringe sticks it into the stem of the plant when it's really still fresh and starting to grow and healthy, injects the BT into the stem, and he says he has totally eliminated the squash vine borers. It'll probably help with squash bugs as well.
So that I can use the BT on the squash bugs?
Oh, well, it'll help you some. On the squash bugs, better it'd be spinosad, injecting it and spraying it both. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back after this.